So the goal of this shiur, which is the fourth on Topher Korea Mechatech, God willing, the last one in this series, is to talk about some applications of what we've discussed in the areas of Korea and Mechatech. So we've already gone through some simple applications of both. We've gone through the rules for both. Just a couple of basic notes on applications of Mechatech that people may not think of. Tearing wax for orthodontics, if sometimes someone has braces, and the end of the wire irritates them, and then they need a piece of wax to put on the end. So Rabbi Riviat, on page 935 in his 39 Malachos, believes that this is a problem of Mechatech because you try to get a shear. You want a certain size. You don't want something that's so small that it won't cover the end of the wire. You don't want something that's so large that it's going to protrude in the mouth. So that could be a concern. A second concern, similarly, brought by Rabbi Riviat, in this case it's in his sixth Ha'ara in Mechatech, is shaving a cork down to fit into a wine bottle, which actually I think is from the Chayyadam in Lamed Vav Gimel. So there's a concern that again, you're cutting something to fit a particular size. The Orcho Shabbos has an interesting discussion. It's Orcho Shabbos, Perek Yud Aleph, Mem Vav, about pills. What if somebody wants to cut a pill and has a marked spot on the pill in order to get a particular size? Say, quote Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, which you have on your sheet, in the first source, the Shmir Shabbos Kechasa Lama Gimel Dalet, who says, Umuter lachdoch glula uptila reshne chatzim shavim. You're allowed to cut a glula, a pill, ptila, is, I think, for an enema. So you're allowed to cut that into two halves. Kdei lishtamish rak bechetzia, just to use half. Ve'im bezem ishum yisur mechatech. And there's no issue of mechatech in doing so. And in the Ha'ara, in the footnote, we get an explanation quoting Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Da'af shemakbed al hamida, even though you care about the measure, mikomakom melechas mechatech shayachas rak im rotza achar kach lishtamish bedvar achatuch. He says, first of all, mechatech is only relevant if you're going to want to use the item afterwards, and he doesn't consider this to be a use, swallowing it, not if you want to swallow it, that's like eating, and that doesn't count, just like we say in mechatech ba'ochlin. Granted that we saw multiple explanations for why there's no mechatech in ochlin. We had said that perhaps it's because mechatech is normally regarding hides, which are inedible. Nonetheless, he offers this as an explanation here, that mechatech doesn't apply to food because food is disposable. Ve'od she'ikar hakpeda hila kamut shel hatrufa v'lo lemida. He adds another element here. The reason why you wouldn't have a concern when it comes to pills is because you don't actually care about the measurement. You care about how much of the medicine you're going to take. V'yesh shalachar shekvar nechlak lo ichpas la'im yisparer lebezo gimel chalakim. He said it could be that once you're dividing it up, you don't care if it breaks into two parts or three parts, it doesn't make a difference. For that matter, you don't care about the dimensions of the pill. You don't say, I want to cut this in order to get something that is 2 centimeters long, or, well, maybe less. You're not saying that. Rather, you're saying, I want this volume. I could cut it lengthwise, I could cut it widthwise, I could cut it on a diagonal, and it wouldn't make a difference to me. So at the end of the day, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and therefore the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, and therefore the Orcho Shabbos, say it's okay to cut a pill in half on Shabbos. Okay. Korea concerns. Korea and strings. We've said that there's no issue of Korea when it comes to tearing a string. This was learned from Rashi's view on the Gemara regarding the Chasalos. The Gemara in Shabbos had talked about Chasalos Shel Tamarim, where you have date leaves that are used as a receptacle of sorts, and they're sealed up, and we said you're allowed to cut that open on Shabbos, and Rashi's view was that you're not cutting the leaves open, but rather you're cutting the string that's holding it close. And this is brought in the Shulchan Aruch. If you take a look at source base, Arachayim, Shin, Yudalid, Sif, Ches, and Tes, Chosalos, Herush, Mine, Kelim, Shal Tamar, Mu, Grogros. You have these date leaves that are holding dates, that are holding figs to dry, or that are dried. Imak Hisui, Kashur, Bechevel. If it is tied shut, matir v'soster sharsheros hachevel v'chotei chafilu b'sakin. He says you're allowed to undo these ropes that are surrounding the leaves, and you can cut them even with a knife. V'afilu gufan shel chosalos, and you could also break the chosalos themselves. That's a separate point. Then you look at Tzeiv Tes, still in the same source, muter lahavkia v'lachtoch kishrei yashfut shekoshrim b'tla o ba'ofat tzluyim, that you'll be allowed to cut the knots of a spit I guess the meat is tied to the spit, you're allowed to cut those knots. We're not concerned at all. You're allowed to do this. Why is it that cutting string is okay? So Rabbi Ribiat on page 828 says it's okay because string is normally repaired by knotting, not by sewing or gluing. And remember, we've said Korea al-Manas Litfor is the concern. We've said that Korea and Tofer are linked, such that if you tear something but it's not something stitchable, maybe Korea doesn't apply. Now, Machatech will still apply if you cut it to a particular dimension. If you cut string and say, I want a certain amount of string, you will still be vulnerable to the malacha of Machatech. But Korea will not apply. So the question we have to ask is, what qualifies as a string? Specifically, what happens when string is actually incorporated into a fabric, into a material? Is it a string now? Am I allowed to tear a string, to cut a string that protrudes from a piece of clothing? So the Aruch HaShabbos writes, it's in Perek Yud Aleph, it is in Se'ifim Tezayim 3 Yates, is where he discusses this. He has a series of cases. He says, you're not allowed to tear strings that are part of a hairy material, like wool, or the hair of a wig. That he doesn't like. He does say, though, that a string that extends forth from a garment is not considered part of the garment. I brought it for you in source Gimel. He says, "V'matzav zeh she'achutnim shach me'abeged ein hu nidon k'chelik me'abeged," where the thread sticks out of the clothing, it's not considered part of the clothing. "V'areizeh k'koreya chut be'ama," this is just cutting a string or tearing a string, and he quotes Rav Nissim Karelitz as saying this as well. That's his position. Further, he says, he quotes the Bir Halacha, I didn't bring it here, the Bir Halacha is Shin Mem Yud Gimel, the Ramaschel Ein quotes the Rishalmi, that says that when you're finishing a woven garment, when you cut off the strings, it's Mechatech. So the Bir Halacha says, there's no Korea. There's no Korea here for this string. Okay. He also suggests that if you have string that had held a button and then the button became detached, that is a problem. And he quotes Yishmir Shabbos Kehilchasa in this regard, but I brought it for you from the Aruch HaShabbos in Gimel. It's still in Gimel, the second line. If a garment loses a button, and remnants of the stitch, the thread that had held the button are still attached to the clothing, that may be more strict than a string that simply protrudes from clothing. Because they had already become one with the garment. That suggests to me that you should make the argument as well to say that if you had strings that were part of the garment and then unraveled, they would be like the strings that had attached the button, and you would not be allowed to tear them off. It's only the string that extends from it in the beginning that will be okay. I think that seems fairly logical. The Aruch HaShabbos is also unclear about the situation in which you have fringes that extend forth from a garment. The last line in Source Gimel, "V'yesh la'ayin b'beged sheyotzim imenu gdilin v'hem chilek ha'tsuras ha'beged." It should be mitzuras. I bet that's a typo in my own retyping. He says you should be careful regarding a garment that has fringes emerging from it, but they are part of the form of the clothing. And it sounds logical to me to say that yes, this is considered to be part of the clothing. Okay, what about cotton? Right, you can buy cotton in this big mass and pull apart the cotton to get the piece that you wish to use. So what would be the status of that? What would be the status of that cotton? Could I tear some away from the cotton on Shabbos? And the answer is that generally speaking, poskim seem to be strict about this. They seem not to like it. The Aruch HaShabbos in Yud Aleph Chaf does not like it. The Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa, which I brought you here on the sheet, it's Ha'ar Mem Ches in Perek Lamed Hey, source Dalid, says Ach Hagon or Shlomo Zalman Orbach Mitzadei Bazel Lameikal. I don't remember if it was Lameikal or Lahakel. Again, it could be my own typo. That's the problem with retyping so many sources. But I actually have a Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa right here. So let's just take a fast look and see whether this is in fact a typo. So, yep, it's a typo. Lahakel. Okay, so after bringing the, this isn't the beginning of the Ha'ara, he first quotes the Menucha Nechona, who says that tearing cotton is a problem of potseya. That's actually the key initial point. It's potseya, which is the opposite of orig, the opposite of weaving. This is undoing a weave. He does not want you tearing the cotton. And he quotes the Tzur Yaakov as well, that it is a problem of Korea. Minchas Yitzchak, Yisodi Yeshurin, say that we are strict. Minchas Yitzchak is Dalet Mem Hei, the Yisodi Yeshurin is Chelek Dalet, page Sadi Hei, page 95. Rosh Shlomo Zalman, though, has an idea here, for leniency, as quoted in the Shemir Shabbos Kelchasa, Mitzadeh Bezel HaHakel, this is Source Dalet, Mikheven She'enu Koreya Ela Mefarek. He says, you're not really tearing anything. You're Mefarek, you're pulling it out of the overall mass, right? Mefarek, which is a part of dash or threshing. And he says, that's not a concern here that won't apply to cotton. V'afshish Sivim Dakim She'nikra'im. And even though you're going to tell me that there are thin fibers which do get torn, the position of the Shulchan Aruch Harav, which we've discussed already, is that it's not called Korea if this thing is considered a single unit, each fiber being a single unit, so there's no problem. And even though the rest of the world disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch Harav, it's still not called Korea. Why? Because each individual fiber of the cotton is not considered substantive. Ki kriya siv echad dak lo mikri korea. He says, it's not called tearing. Ki rak machmas hapiru korea iman hashim ezeh b'shem korea. People use the term korea, tearing, you're tearing cotton, but you're really not, you're extracting it from the mass. Avo kriyas hasivim hadakim, and tearing the individual thin fibers, it's like tearing a thread from a spider web. This is not called korea. It simply falls apart when you touch it, which is very interesting, because we say spider webs are actually very strong relative to their size, but I guess that's not really germane here. So the position that he takes is that that's not considered a problem of korea. He talks about considering a spider web muktza, but not an issue of korea. So it sounds like Rosh Shlomo Zalman is going to allow me to extract from cotton, but then in the Miluim he backs down in source. Since there are those who consider this an issur d'oraisa, I'm going to say better not to do it. Okay, so strings are fine to tear. Strings that are part of a material become like the material itself. If it never became part of the material itself, that's another story. The cotton, most posts can prohibit outright. Rosh Shlomo Zalman has a reason to be lenient, but in the end he says not to be. What about strings that join items together? So that's what we need to talk about now. The application of korea to clothing that is joined together with itself or joined to something else via string. So we're going to break this down into three different issues. Number one will be two garments that are joined together. Number two, where a tag is joined to clothing. And number three, safety pins that attach things that have been inserted by a business, by a laundry, by a manufacturer, something like that. We talked about regular safety pins already in an earlier shiur. Okay. So, in terms of the issue of two garments that are joined together. So the Aruch HaShabbos says you have no problem unless they're held together tightly. That's source Vav. If the string joins the two items and they are flush with each other, then there's a concern that if you separate them, you're separating a single stitch. However, he continues to say that if the intent is for it to be temporary, it's not meant to be there long term, then we go back to the discussion that we had from the Rama in Shin Yud Zayin Gimel, right, regarding shoes that are joined by the cobbler, where we say that it may be permitted to separate them unless you're doing it in front of an Am Haaretz, as we've already discussed. Then we also had the Machlokes, the Levush, and the Taz, as to whether the intent of the manufacturer to undo it at some point is sufficient, or does he need to plan to undo it in a particular time frame, that day, or within 7 days, right? That was our full discussion earlier. But if the intent is for it to be permanent, there's no question two garments that are joined together by a string, even though we allow tearing strings in general, in this case, your string is actually not a string, it's a stitch. That's part one of this. Number two, tags that are joined to clothing. So where a tag is joined by a string, we generally assume you're allowed to cut it on Shabbos. It's not a problem of Koreya. I brought you the Orach HaShabbos, Yudalef Yudalef, but it's Nishmir Shabbat Kilchasa. It's all over the place. Tavit, that's your tag. Tsluya bebeged bechut plastik, which is hanging from a garment via a plastic thread. Muter lahasira v'lachtol chesachut b'Shabbos. You're allowed to remove it and cut the thread on Shabbos. Ve'im b'zeh mishum b'ser korea v'lo mishum b'ser makab b'patish. She says it's not korea, and it's also not makab b'patish. It's fine. The makab b'patish point is the garment is complete. The garment was complete in the factory, and it's complete now, and the tag didn't make it incomplete. He's good with that idea. He also notes there are no two pass-throughs and so on. Rabbi Ribiat still wants you to cut it before Shabbos in page 848 and in Ha'ara Kuf Yud A. 110a on Korea. He says it's ideal to cut it before Shabbos out of concern for Makab HaPatish, but again, it generally, no one seems to be terribly concerned that it's Makab HaPatish. If the tag is sewn or stapled to the clothing, then we have a separate concern, because sometimes those are in fact left in for a long time. It is true that Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa has a leniency regarding removing staples from an envelope, and that's what I brought you in Ches in Ches Matafashis Grabesichot. We have an envelope that's closed with staples. Muter lahasiras hasichos biyad kedei lechoscha. You'd be allowed to remove them by hand, not with a kli, but just remove them by hand in order to open the envelope, because he treats that as being temporary, as opposed to stapled pages. But that's a different story. That doesn't apply here, where we're talking about the tag being stapled to the clothing. It's not so clear cut that this is temporary, and certainly you wouldn't be doing it in front of an Am Haaretz. Okay, so that covers clothing joined together by a string and tags joined to clothing. Hang on a second. Okay. What about the safety pins that are used by a business, like by the laundromat? So we have already said that domestic safety pins are fine to remove, right? We quoted you Moshe Feinstein. I brought it for you again in Source Tests, who takes the position that there is no issue of tofer stitching because there's no close joining. Dido min chasiyat slakter shemir Shabbos kelchasa from Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Rabbi Ribiat. The Chazon Ish writes, as we saw above, the chazusa mochiach alav. You look at it, you can tell this is not an act of tefira. This is not an act of stitching. However, the Orach HaShabbos in Yud Aleph Yud Gimel, as well as Ha'arei Yechas, is stricter if it's a tag attached by a safety pin from a business, like the cleaners. That, he says, is not quite the same thing. In Source Yud, Tavit Shalmach Beisa, a tag from the laundry, Hamachuberes Lebeged Al Yidei Sichas Hiduch, which is attached to the clothing via a safety pin. Yeshlav Chin Bazev Bein Mikrim Shonim. He says, now you have to start looking at the different situations to figure out what's going to be okay and what's not going to be okay. And what he decides is that if the tag is in a spot where one would usually remove the tag right away, so you should remove it before Shabbos, but if you didn't, you could be lenient in a case of need. He would be okay with that. Don't do it in front of Nam Haaretz, who won't know the difference between which things are permitted and which things are prohibited, because this case is not visibly different from cases that are prohibited. The reason why he wants you to remove it before Shabbos is because you're relying on the heter of Tefir Lizman. We said that there are those who argue you can't compare stitching and tying, and therefore, even though there's permission to do certain things regarding temporary knots, you aren't regarding temporary stitches. So since there is such a view, better to remove this before Shabbos. But if you didn't, you could be lenient in a case of need. Just don't do it before an Am Haaretz to avoid confusion. If it's on an internal part of the garment, such that people usually would leave the tag in long term, then don't remove that on Shabbos. Okay. Another issue of Korea, the backings on name tags, for peel-off name tags, diaper tabs, band-aids, and so on. So there are reasons to be lenient regarding removing these on Shabbos. First of all, it's not intended to be permanent. Like we talked about from the Levush regarding the pair of shoes that were tied together at the cobbler waiting for the customer to come along and untie them. So so you can make the argument that this is... that this is okay, unless you're going to make the argument that the Lavush's case is specifically known, where it's known that the shoes will be separated soon, as opposed to the Band-Aid, where they don't know how long it's going to be before the Band-Aid is opened. But the other argument number one to permit is the fact that you expect it to be only short term. Or at least not permanent, I should say. That's a better statement of it. The Magen Avraham in Shin Mem Yudches, the Mishnah Berurah as well, Shin Mem and Mem Hey, which I brought you in source Yud Aleph. He says, Hecha shenidbeku adapin lahadadi al yidei shava. If pages are stuck together by wax, so b'sha'as hakshira, mutter l'poschan. You're allowed to open them. Why? Kevin Delonasez l'kiyum, because it's not meant to last that way. Kol shkein hacha denasem amela b'lamiskavin l'fichach enu domakal etofer ve'en bo mishum korea. He says the whole thing is not intended to be permanent. Yichabedas in vav chavdalid, the factory doesn't intend it to be permanent, and therefore you are allowed to remove it. The Minchas Yitzchak in Hey Lamed Tes Beis disagrees, because he says it is fundamentally meant to last for a long time. Because, after all, he intends it to be there until the customer gets it, and that could indeed be a long time. The Tzitz Eliezer is also uncomfortable. In Tez Zayin Vav Hey, in Source Yud Beis, says, Kayemes Adayin Ba'ayabazeh. We still have a problem. V'hi B'Srateh Ha'adbaka. And that's talking about the things that you would use to attach it. Ki Asusha Shemati Alav. Omrim Ki Srateh Ha'adbaka Nesunim Hema B'Mechset Plastik Shemud Bakalahem. V'Shomer Alehem Ad Higia Torom Lishtamesh Ba'ayam. He says, the way it works is that these stickers are in a plastic envelope, and not really an envelope, but a plastic cover that is stuck to them, it adheres to them, and until the time of use, it just protects the adhesive. These are done in the factory, where they make the diapers, they're meant to last more than a day, until the consumer needs the diaper. He says, now you get to a stitch that is not intended to last forever, but many poskim will say there's at least an iser derabanan in tearing it off. And so he doesn't like it. He does not like it. He wants you to open, as he continues here in your base, he wants you to open it and close it again close to Shabbos. And since the second closure that it experiences, the one that you do, is meant to last less than a day, so that he's now good with, and that's what he would prefer. But this is all under one position, one argument, that it's not intended to be permanent. The Minchas Asher has a different argument, which we brought earlier on in one of the earlier shiurim. I reproduced it in Source Yud Gimel. He says no. He says the backing is only present to shield the adhesive. It's not meant to be joined with it as one. It was hanacha, not tefira, as I put in bold in Source Yud Gimel. So I don't know what you're so upset about. And the Aruch HaShabbos in Ha'aram Mem Vav quotes the idea as well from Reb Nissen Karelitz. So that's a different argument, to make the argument that it's not considered to be stuck to the thing at all, not from the get-go. So the position that we end up with here is actually threefold in the poskim. One view is Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa in Lamed Hey Samach Gimel. If you take a look at Source Yadalid, and this is actually, I think this was not in Lamed Hei Samach Gimel, I think it was in the Miluim to Lamed Hei Samach Gimel, but he writes, he says the thing is stuck to it only to protect the adhesive so that it isn't ruined. It is only meant to enable you to separate them later on, and therefore this is not a concern. That's the position taken by the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa. I'm just looking to see if this is in the Ha'ara in Samach Gimel, or whether this is actually in the it's not. No, this is in the Miluim. Is where this is in volume 3. That's where you'll find that quote. Okay, that's his position from Rosh Hashanah Zamen Orbach. Second view is that it's best to open it and do a temporary closing before Shabbos, as cited above in the Tzitz Eliezer, and Rabbi Ribiad is a fan of this as well. And then the third position is the position of the Orach HaShabbos. And the Orach HaShabbos quotes Rav Eliashiv saying to be strict. He places it there for the long term, and this is called sticking, and therefore, he quotes Rav Eliashiv, it's the Orach HaShabbos in Perek Yid Aleph Ha'aramem Vav. Okay. New issue, Korea and Mechatech, dealing with pages and tissues that are stuck together. So, we're only talking here about separating items which are actually one unit, or which are joined with an adhesive. If they're not joined with an adhesive, and they're not one unit, we don't have an issue. So, like the Orach HaShabbos mentions in Yud Aleph Chavches, if there are pages and tissues that are pressed together without adhesive, and they just, you know, stick to each other like that, I have no issue. Pull them apart and you're fine. So if they were never cut in the factory, they've been one from the get-go, everybody says usser, everybody prohibits. The Yisod Yeshur in Chilek Dalet, page 97, the Shemir Shabbos Kehilchasa, Chavtes Aleph, the Orach HaShabbos, everybody says no good. The only debate is just how many prohibitions have you violated if you separate them. So the Prima Gadim says, as you see in Source Tesvav, HaKareni Yarmama Shalo Nechtach, If you tear paper that had never been separated, chayiv lamanda omar lo ba'inan korei amanas litfor. So he says, you're chayiv if you don't think that korei has to be specifically for the sake of stitching, because there's no stitching involved with paper, it's just korei for any productive purpose. If it's just any tikkun, then he says you will have a problem of korei amanas litakein. That's the position that the Prima Gadim makes. Now, you could make the argument that it's Kriya, which is itself Tikkun, right? Which the Be'er Halacha had brought, as we discussed in an earlier shir, may not be an issue of Kareya at all, when he was talking about why tearing paper to roast fish isn't the problem of Kareya, so tearing, which is Tikkun, isn't the problem. Afal Pichein, generally speaking, that's the Prima Gadim's position. The Be'er Halacha says, who needs Kareya Manas Latakin? It's Makabe Patish. And he quotes Urashi and Shabbos to support the idea. But take a look at Source Tazayin. He says, I am Prima Gadim, Dimash Midvarav Dimishum Korea Manas Latakenu, Uladati She'em Itzarech Lezeh. I don't think you need to go into Korea as a discussion. Dimalacha Kazuhu Nichla B'Shem Makeh Patish. It's Makeh Patish. Diyadua. The Darkan Shel Ha'ogde Sparim La'ayin V'lachtoch L'Besof Kol Adapan Uchubarin Zeh Lezeh. He says, what do? When they bind Sparim, when they bind books, they go through them and look to make sure that everything is separated. And if they missed one, that's a bad thing. This is considered incomplete. And therefore, you are completing it by opening it up. It's like Rashi on the opening the neck of a shirt. The Orach HaShabbos in Yud Aleph Ha'ara Lamed Zayin suggests that it could be mechatech if you wanted to leave a straight line for the cut between the pages. Then you could have a mechatech problem as well. Okay. Similarly, the Orach HaShabbos in Yud Aleph Mem Beis says that when you get the leaven containers in Israel, right, they're little mini yogurts, milkies or whatever they are, so they'll come joined. So some prohibit separating these containers because they'll again view it as makabe patish. In Ha'ara Samach, he says Rav Yashi prohibits it as makabe patish and also machatech since they're cut on a straight, precise line. However, on the Leban case, Rav Shlomo Zalman permits, and I brought it for you in Surah Yud Zayin V'Dasa Gun Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach LaHatir Bazeh VaAmar De'ein Lachosh Mishum Ma Yisra Makabe Patish. There's no issue of Makabe Patish Mikevin Shitzuras Hagviim Kavar Nigmra Beis Acharoshes, because they already complete in the factory. That's not an issue. And why not Mechatech? Because you're separating it on an easy spot. You're not trying to get a particular line. That's just where it breaks easily, the joining of them. And that's something that we'll see later in Rosh Shlomo Zalman as a bigger concept, that when you break something on a particular spot because it's easy, that's not a Mechatech issue. He doesn't mention why it's not Korea. Presumably it's not Korea because these are hard items, I would think. But going back to the pages discussion, it's very clear that if the pages are still connected and were connected that way from the get-go, you're out of luck. If they become stuck together later intentionally, you put them, you glued them together, then separating it is like any other issue of separating glued pages, which is to say, usser. You're not allowed to do that. So if somebody stuck together the pages on purpose, you're out of luck. What if they became stuck together later by accident? then separation is fine. Everybody permits. Mishnah Berurah Shin Mem and Mem Hey, the Yisod Yeshurah, and I mentioned earlier, Shemir Shabbos Kehilchos Chavchas Aleph, the Archos Shabbos, Yod Aleph Chav Zayin, Rabbi Ribiat, page 847, all of them permit. Interesting note, though, from the Shemir Shabbos Kehilchos, that really belongs in Kosev Mochik, rather than here, but I thought it was worth noting. Rosh Shlomo Zalman is on your sheet in source Yud Ches. V'shamati me'agon Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach. T'b'chi agavna shagam b'yemos ha'chol hi'efshar la'hafrit ki'im ha'yedei kilkul. Well, let me explain the problem he's solving first. There is a concern that if you had a page that got stuck to another page by some kind of an adhesive, and the result of it is that there were letters that were now invisible while covered by the adhesive, and now you remove the adhesive, you're actually making letters visible. Maybe that's an issue of writing. Maybe that's Kosev. However, this is where he picks up in the part that I quoted. He says, maybe you can make the argument that if during the week, forget Shabbos right now, if it were Wednesday, or it's Friday when I'm recording this, if during the week it would be impossible for you to separate them other than by destroying them. Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. That's not actually his concern here. Sorry. His concern is the other way around. He says, if when you remove it, the letters are going to be destroyed. Right, that's his concern. His concern is that if when you remove them, the letters, when you separate them, the letters are going to be destroyed. Maybe that's an issue of mochek. And his answer is, well, it could be that if you're not able to separate it without destroying them, then maybe it was machuk already. It was considered erased. That's what Rosh Shlomo Zalman is talking about. Okay. All right, so we've talked our way through basic mechatech applications, strings that join clothing, safety pins a little bit also, backings on name tags, pages that got stuck together, and that brings us to toilet paper, right? We still have to get through toilet paper and packages of various kinds. So, toilet paper. The concern, well, there are a few different concerns. We have to go through three different malachos. Makeh v'patish, mechatech, and korea. When you tear toilet paper off of the roll, are you guilty of makeh v'patish? Are you making it usable? So Rabbi Ribiat quotes anonymous people who think that that's what Ramosha held. Source Yutas. V'ra'isi l'misha kasta b'shem agon Ramosha feinstein zatzal, t'chi agav nachayv mishum makeh v'patish. He saw it. Somebody said that Ramosha says this is makeh v'patish, mishum shegomer as hakli, because you complete the kli. But then he writes, ulam imashakaza mishnah brura hanal, mashma de'im l'chayvo, rak mishum mechatech. Hiskir melachas makeh v'patish kol. He says, you know, the mishnah brura discusses this issue of separating toilet paper. And he doesn't say anything about makeh v'patish. He does discuss mechatech, which we have to get to. But why is it makeh v'patish? What are you making useful? I mean, you know, the thing is going to be disposed of. The Archos Shabbos in Yud Aleph Ha'ara Nun Vav suggests that it's metakein mana rabbinically, midirabanan, like the Gemara in Beitza Lamed Beis about cutting paper in order to roast fish on it as metakein kli. So maybe it's metakein kli midirabanan. Mechatech, though, is the one that you really hear people talk about more for two reasons. One, you want the dimension, you want a particular size that's useful, and the other is an argument that you want the edge of it to be smooth and not jagged, so you want to cut a smooth line. So in terms of wanting the dimensions, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach is not concerned about this, and this is the point that I referenced earlier. Take a look at source Chaf. It's very important to see this position that he takes in the Mincha Shlomo. It's always quoted as being in Beis Yud Beis, but in our editions, you'll see it in the Bar Ilan, they have Beis and Gimel together, it's Tshuva Lamed Beis. He's talking about cans at this point in the Tshuva. It's Siv Gimel in the Tshuva. So he writes, Af agav sheinu motzi es hamashke kemo begrogros el shos mamash derech sham. He says, even though you don't pour the liquid out, right, so that your kli is disposed of, you're going to drink from the kli. Mikol makom lagavei apachit harechashiv kemekalka bekach kemish nizrekes miyad la'achar hashtiyah. Nonetheless, you're still destroying the can because you're going to drink and then you're going to throw it out. Umuter shafir lasos baneka b'shabbos v'lishtos mehachalal. So he says, you can make a hole in it and drink from that on Shabbos. V'lachein kemoshik amuter livchor v'lasos haneka b'chol makom sherotzeh v'tov lo yosir lishtos misham. So you're going to make a hole hole in the can. You could pick the spot that's good for drinking from. So too, you can do it at the top, where they have the tab. You'd be allowed to do that. It's all prepared for you. It's all metukan tov v'yafa milifnei ha-shabbos, ayidei l'shonit. Makom ha-shonach ma'od la'asar sham chalal. That's the place where it's easiest to make the hole. V'lishtos derach sham, and drink from there. L'lo shum tarach v'sevel, without any problem. V'imkei lama na'tzricha so la'asas nekev ha-makom acher. Why should I say to the guy, listen, here's a really good spot that you could drink from. Don't use that spot. Make a hole somewhere else. V'chi aser lehenos mizeh she'yagu b'tarchu b'erev shabbos l'makom tov v'noach. Does he have to suffer because somebody picked out the really good place before Shabbos? He doesn't buy it. And he adds in the brackets, even though that's the great spot, they figured out so that air can come into the can, and therefore the pressure is resolved and the drink will come out easier. It doesn't matter. It's still not a Pesach HaAsir LaHafnis LaHotzi, which is a separate discussion from Boneh. He then brings you to toilet paper in the following bracketed comment, the end of Chaf. Misubkani b'chiyai gavner sha'osem mamash kli b'shabbos. He says, I'm unsure in such a case where someone actually makes a kli on Shabbos. Kmo toleish niyar toilet meglil shemesumam benekavim ketanim. You have toilet paper that has perforations, and you tear the toilet paper off of the roll. Sha'aruchu metukan yafim elifnei ha-shabbos b'midin achonu meduyakes. Right? It's already been arranged and prepared before Shabbos in a very nice and precise way. But toleish misham enomo deklal. When you tear it off, you're not measuring at all. Right? Aside from Isser Korea, that's its own discussion, which we'll talk about. Ulo tarach gadol, and there isn't any great strain. Hakol tov meduyak. Av shegmar hu al yedei ha'adam ben odom eklal akotem kiseim shakol atarach nasa b'shabbos. He says, it's all done by the person. It's not like the case of a splinter. I'm not going to go into the splinter comparison. We've talked about the splinter before. V'lachar mistaber de'ein ze chashiv ki mechatech. He says, I don't think this is mechatech. And certainly here, where here meaning the can discussion, that you're destroying the can, right, and making a hole in it, that's a separate discussion. But the point for our purposes, and what I wanted you to see as part of this discussion, is that he believes that if you're simply cutting on that spot because that's easier, and not because I picked this spot as the spot that's good for me, then you don't suffer for the fact that somebody made a calculation that this spot is good for you before Shabbos. You're just doing it because it's the easier one. So therefore, he's not concerned about tearing on perforations per se. However, many others do indeed prohibit, and they don't like having the perforations. Rav Yashiv, who's quoted in the Aruch HaShabbos, Yud Aleph Ha'aron and Zayin, he says the whole point of the perforations is to enable you to get the dimension you want when you tear on those lines. Rabbi Ribiat in Ha'ara Zayin in Korea says you shouldn't say that one tears on the perforations only because it's easy. You want to avoid having a piece that's too long or too short. It's interesting. Look at his note in Ha'aret Sadi Gimel in Korea. I'm not so sure he's coming to the same conclusion there as he is in Zion. In Sadi Gimel, he seems to agree with Rosh Shlomo Zalman. So I'm not clear on this. But that's concern number one. Concern number two is that you want a smooth cut when you do this, meaning you want a smooth edge. That's Rabbi Ribiat's argument in Mechate Ha'ara Chav Gimel in Source Chav Aleph. Od nistapakno im geder adim Mechate Chu Sheyachtoch L'shir Mesuyam. Oh, im gam b'hashvas k'tzosav yesh gam kein inyan Mechatech. He says, maybe there's also an issue of Mechatech when you want the smooth end. L'fini yizdaiti geder Mechatech. Well, I think that's also Mechatech. I'm not so sure about his application to toilet paper. I don't think people care whether the end of the paper is rough or is on a straight line, not rough. He doesn't want the material to be rough, but the fact that the edge is not smooth, right, is irrelevant to the person using it. So I'm not so clear about this. So when it comes to makabe patish, some do make the suggestion that this is makabe patish. On the other hand, the argument could simply be it's for disposal. What are you making as a kli here? And as Rabbi Ribiat notes, the Mishnah Berurah didn't mention makabe patish. That was not a concern. Mechatech, because you want those dimensions. So the Menucha Shlomo thinks that the perforations are not a problem, making you, declaring this to be cutting for dimensions. He does not seem to be concerned, at least for Mechatech. Others are concerned for Mechatech. What about Korea? So the Mishnah Berurah says, yes, this is indeed a problem of Korea. Source Chaf Beis Bim Korea Niyar LeKra'im Kedei LeKaneach Es Atzmo Bahen. If a person tears up paper in order to wipe himself with it, Olishari Zatashmish, or for any other purpose, Chayav Mishum Korea Shum Korea Manas Latakin. That's Korea Manas Latakin. That's tearing for a constructive purpose. So he doesn't like it. Now, you could theoretically try to apply the Bir Alachas to Kulos. Right, that tearing doesn't improve both sides of the roll. That tearing is itself the tikkun; it's not enabling a tikkun. But number one, we don't use these in general. Number two, there's an argument about improving both sides of the roll. If you look in the Aruch HaShabbos, Perek Yud Aleph, Ara Lamed Beis, he argues that maybe here you are really somehow mataking the big roll as well. As a matter of psak, we say no, you should not tear toilet paper on Shabbos. However, there's a Kavod HaBrios issue. If a person is stuck, this is a major problem of Kavod HaBrios, which we say overrides the Rabbanans. So the Aruch HaShabbos says that the ideal would be to ask a non-Jew, if possible. If for some reason you're not comfortable walking up to a non-Jew and asking him to tear off the toilet paper for you, then tear a kila achar yad. So you do it in an unusual way. What qualifies as an unusual way cannot be discussed right now. It's a longer discussion as to what qualifies. Does that mean that the method has to be awkward? Does it mean the result has to be poor? It's a good discussion in its own right. The Aruch HaShabbos has that recommendation. The Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa as well has that recommendation. Chav Gimel Tes Zayin. Rabbi Ribiad has another suggestion. Asking a non-Jew is first, and then second is maybe just don't tear it off. Leave it running into the bowl, and then when you flush, it'll tear via grumma. And then his third approach is the Kila Achayad, and he wants to avoid tearing on the perforations because of that concern, although perhaps Rav Shlomo Zalman would not be concerned. Okay, last of the units here, packages of various kinds. So there's all sorts of things to talk about here with packages. Let's see what we can get through. First of all, what is the status of a perforated seal? We've already talked about perforations in terms of the toilet paper, but what's the status of a perforated seal, a perforated opening for a bag? So as we've already said, there's a basic debate about how we perceive tearing on a perforation. Most authors write that the perforation is meant to enable tearing on the best spot for creating an ideal opening. And therefore, tearing on that line is a problem of machatech, and it will apply, even if korea does not apply because the materials are different or whatever. However, Shlomo Zalman, who we saw above, and he's quoted in Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa in Perek Tes Ha'ara Chav Hei regarding sugar packets, says, no, we tear there because it's easier to tear there. That's all it's about. And that's it. And therefore, there is no concern for Machatech. I should note that in the Miluim on that Ha'ara in the third volume, as well as on Chav Gimel Ha'ara Nun Hei, they correct this to say that the person tearing it also doesn't plan to use the portions of the bag based on their particular measure. He has no plan of now going out and using that bag because it has these new dimensions. That's another reason to be lenient regarding the bag. But that's a basic debate when you talk about tearing along perforations. We also have the separate issue of whether opening the package or making the tear is korea because it enables tikkun of the bag. That's what we have to talk about in the discussion. But in terms of the perforations, that's the basic debate. Okay, packages of different kinds. First kind of package, a package that's sealed with gummed lids. Think cereal box, right? Are you allowed to separate them on Shabbos? No, seems fairly clear. You would not be allowed to. That would be korea. As the Rambam writes, it's in Source Chaf Gimel. I just brought the Rambam for simplicity. He says, sticking papers together is a problem of tofer. And then he continues to say, hamafarek niyaros devukin. If you separate papers that have been stuck together, or pieces of leather, or whatever, hide, that have been stuck together, and it's not intended only lekalkel, that is a tolda of korea and chayev. You know, that's the basic idea. You know, okay, we have to talk more about intent for kilkel. Okay. What about seals? The seals. When I say seals, what I mean is you have a tamper-proof seal, some kind of layer of foil or something going across the top, or plastic that you'll have on a juice bottle or a milk container. So what is their status? So the obvious precedent to permit this is the Tosefta, which you've seen before, quoted by the Magen Avraham and by the Mishnah Berurah. The Magen Avraham is Shin Yudalid, Mishnah Berurah Shin Yudalid Chavhei, where we say that if there is a piece of hide stretched across the top of a barrel, you're allowed to tear that on Shabbos for reasons we have already discussed. And indeed, Poskim apply this to the case of the seals. Rabbi Riviat notes that he talks about on page 834 the paper stickers on the top of food containers to seal in freshness. On page 937, he talks about tamper-proof seals. In Ha'ara 77a, under Korea, he talks about juice box holes and puncturing them, and all of these are considered to be fine. One source where a question is fine, assuming you're not trying to cut along a particular line to make mechatech, and that will take you back to the mechatech discussion of cutting on a perforation. Worth noting. Okay. Do we have reason to object based on the pre-chadash? This is a very interesting discussion in its own right. I brought it for you in source Chaf Dalet. I'm going to say it outside. The practice historically was that in Jewish communities, they would prepare their cholent in a pot and bring it to an oven from the local baker, and the pot would then be sitting there over Shabbos, and they want to get it on Shabbos, and the concern is Basur Shnes Alamin Ha'ayin, that this has been in the domain of the non-Jew, and who knows, maybe something was taken out, something was substituted. How many seals do you need on this item? So the Pichadosh is very angry because somebody has said that you should be strict and that you need two layers, a mafteach and a chosam, and leave aside what the mafteach and chosam are, it's a good Yeredeya discussion, but the Pichadosh says your chumrah ends up being a kula. You think you're good because you now require two seals. I have news for you. Now they're going to tear off the seal on Shabbos, and that's a terrible thing to do because that's like that Rambam on seals. You're tearing apart things that have been stuck together. And he says, they don't tell me that people are opening letters on Shabbos, and that's fine, because they shouldn't be opening letters on Shabbos either. The Pichadosh is very upset, and he says, this is a terrible thing to do. Look at his concluding line. V'ro'oi limchos biyara noagin kain, shumina gorua va'af, hei nasidin liten olavas hadin. So there. He says, you should protest people who do this. This is a terrible minhag, and they will have to answer for it before Hashem. Well, Chacham Tzvi was not so impressed. In Source Chafei, he has a series of comments regarding the Pichadash, and this is the last of them. In Source Chafei, he says, Gam Masha Asar Likra Hayara Chasum B'Shabbos. His prohibition against tearing the sealed letter on Shabbos, the sealed paper on Shabbos, V'afilu Ayidei Akum, even having a non-Jew, he says you can't do it because he thinks this is the Oraisa. Hakol Hu Toz Gomur. He says this prichadash is entirely mistaken. V'sharalei marei sha'aser es hamuter v'hiter es ha'aser. He says, and God should forgive the prichadash. He prohibited that which is permitted, i.e. tearing this. V'hiter es ha'aser, and he permitted that which is prohibited. Kasher achachti b'rayos b'ruos makom acher alo b'sifrasi. He says, elsewhere I've explained that very clearly. Uvar achachti v'alpanav b'yosa po imanu v'shasakli. And he was here in town, and I rebuked him for this, and I showed him, maybe not rebuked him, I showed to his face that he was wrong, and he was silent, which clearly means Shiga Kavada, he agreed with me. Chacham Tzvi says there's no issue. I think that the grounds for saying that Pichadosh is incorrect would simply be our Tosefta, the Oral B'Yachavis. If you take a look in the Bi'ar Halacha, you can see more Shin Mem Yud Gimel Dibur Maschel Haniyar. But the basic rule is we are indeed lenient when it comes to these flat seals. What about wrappers and disposable bags? That's our next stage. So why should I prohibit? Well, first of all, if there's a perforation, then you have the machatech discussion, right, all over again. Even if there's no perforation, you might prohibit it as korea manas latake, tearing it in order to improve things, like the Prichadosh said regarding seals. That's the argument that perhaps you should make here. So why should I permit? Well, machatech, I'm not concerned about if I take the view, as Rav Shlomo Zalman does, that I'm not, you know, cutting along particular lines other than maybe where there's a perforation. I'm doing it on that spot for ease, but that's really about it. I'm not trying to get any particular result. I don't even reuse these. And as far as Korea, the argument will be it's like the date baskets, or the date leaf baskets from Shabbos, Kuf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, where we said if the item is disposable, you're going to be okay. So the poskim generally permit tearing the wrappers in these flimsy bags that are not going to be reused. Rabbi Ribiat on page 819 talks about a Band-Aid wrapper and says it's fine. Page 835, 836, flimsy plastic bags are fine. Sugar packets get this discussion as well, and we tend to be lenient for those as well. The Chazon Ish wants to make sure that you actually ruin the bag or the receptacle, whatever this is, even though no one would ever reuse it. I brought you the Chazon Ish in Chavav, I bolded parts of it to make it more clear. He emphasizes that this should be something which no one is going to use again, and you should make sure no one's going to use it again. That's the position of the Chazon Ish. Now, interestingly, Rabbi Ribiat does a very funny thing here. If you take a look on what he writes in Chav Zayin, this is in his main text. Paper or plastic wrapping around food or other items that are required for food or physical needs on Shabbos present minimal halachic problems with regard to tearing and opening them on Shabbos. He says if they are required for food or physical needs on Shabbos, then you could do this. The wrapping material is ordinarily thin and flimsy and summarily discarded after opening. They may therefore be ripped or opened, provided that no letters or designs will be torn. But his key is items that are required for food or physical needs. So the problem is that's inconsistent with what we've said. We've simply said there's no issue here. This isn't the problem of Korea. This isn't the problem of Mechatech. Finished. But that's not here. Here he says you want it Tzorech. So in Chav Ches he explains why. And this goes back to one of our earlier shiurim in the series and the view of Rashi regarding why it is that I'm allowed to open the Chosalos. Rashi's position was that I'm allowed to because it's Mekalkel, which is a Derabanan, and it's permitted Litzarech, as opposed to the view that this isn't called a problem of Korea at all. So Rabbi Ribiat says, Vihine, in Source Chafes, Bifnim HaSefer Kasavti Tama Hedel Kramata Favasakios Kisvaras Rashi Mishnah Kuf Memvav. In the text, like in Source Chav Zayin, I follow the view of Rashi to say that the permission is in a case of Tzorech. V'kasavti ken mirov pshitusa v'kitzur l'shonak delhakel ha'korei. I wrote it that way just to be simple, make it easier for the reader. Ki be'emes hasvaros v'ata'amim l'dinim elu amukim me'od u'mesubachim b'stiros v'riboy shitos v'poskim. It's so complicated. There are so many contradictory views. It's a big problem. She'en kol adam muchan l'havin yishuv adram al buryan. Not everyone is going to grasp it. Parentheses, gam be'emesh poskim bizmanenim morim bazem itam demutem l'kalkel etzorech ochlin. By the way, they're also poskim today who follow the view of Rashi and say it's only permitted for the sake of food. And it's true, he says, there really isn't such a great difference between them, because why are you opening this if it's not Litzarech? Therefore I followed Rashi and I was very simple in the discussion. That's the position that he takes. And so he says you're only allowed to do this for Shabbos needs. You can't open the wrapper just stop. It has to be for a Shabbos need. He's correct that, you know, why are you opening it if it's not a Shabbos need? But that's his view. Where it would really have ramifications would be if I said that it has to be Litzarech Achila, which is a discussion we had also on a previous week. That's when it would really narrow it down, if you said it was only mutter for the sake of eating. Okay. Reusable bags and envelopes. What about those? So, there are limits to the heter of tearing chosalos, tearing the date things. The Mishnah Brura in Lamed, and this is what we already know, Chavtas is the halacha regarding tearing open the date leaf bags, and then in Lamed is the Mishnah Brura, and he takes the view, Dafka hani delav kin gemurim hein, these, you may tear these open, these leaves, because they're not a full kli, deina masumen lishis bashal et tamar b'selchon, is just for ripening the dates, aval kli gemur kvar sasa amachabe b'resh siv zayin li isur, if it's a real kli, no, you will not be allowed to tear it open. He said the heter does not apply to a kli gamur. Further, the Chazon Ish says it only works if it's mekalkel, so that it's at worst a derabanan, and that's in source Lamed Aleph. Chol zeh she'amarnu shebat al shem korea v'shem matir efshar de'ein zeh ela be'yisur derabanan. It could be this only applies that you could tear this, and it's not called korea if you're dealing with a derabanan. The came into mekalkel, since he is mekalkel, it's only derabanan. Ve'enkel is derabanan. He kilu ba'asik lahotzi mashab esochav ozeh derakilkel. Then maybe that's why they're lenient, and therefore poskim will prohibit tearing a reusable bag if you don't destroy the bag. That's really the key point that I wanted to make here, is that they want you to destroy the bag. And even among those who permit, Many poskim will need a tzorech to permit it, due to concern for the Rabbanan of Korea. There's a machlokis in the early 20th century regarding envelopes. The Bir Halacha, which I brought you here in source Lamed Beis, says that it's a derabbanan like any mekalkel, you need a non-Jew to do it. And he notes that according to Rashi, it's not so easy to define this even as mekalkel altogether. The Chazon Ish permits, we already saw that, where you tear it in a way that the envelope will no longer be useful as cited above. It's like the Oral Piachavis. Even though today, you know, if we're talking envelopes, people don't use envelopes multiple times. Generally speaking, they tear open the envelope and they throw it out. They put it in recycling. There's still a demand for tzorech in order to justify this. Rabbi Ribiat in his footnote in Korea, footnote Nuntes, says you still need a tzorech of some kind in order to be able to do this. I was a little confused by the Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa in Tes Yud Aleph. If you take a look at Source Lamed Gimel, he says on the one hand, there is no Korea issue, is what he sounds like he's saying, but then in his conclusion he says, this is only if you forgot to before Shabbos. But you should not rely on this. I'm not so clear about his final position. But it seems like you need it tzorech, and you need to also do it in a destructive way. If the tear produces a neat line, which one would want, then you definitely have a problem. You have a machatech issue, you may have a tikkun kli issue. Rabbi Ribiat makes this point regarding the box of tissues, where you tear off part of it in order to make the opening, and you want it to be a smooth line. You want it to be even and to look nice. But it also comes up in the discussion about a can that has a marked opening, which we talked about already from the Mincha Shlomo before. The Aruch HaShabbos in Ha'ara Samach Aleph, I brought it for you in Lamed Hay, quotes the position of Eliashiv, who says, no, opening the cans is makeh b'patish, because you're making the can useful, and it's mechatech. He wasn't 100% sure, because it's a one-time use, but Rav Eliashiv is concerned, whereas Shlomo Zalman says, no, it's a one-time use, and you're cutting it on that spot only because it's easy to do so. Interesting note from the Aruch HaShabbos, he gives one more reason why it should be permitted for you to do this. The Rambam, brought at the start of the Maaseh Rokeach, quotes his Rebbe, and I brought this for you in Lamed Hay. He says, the Rambam talks about Masate's Eben, chiseling a stone, and it's the only makeh patish, it's not machatech. Why? Because machatech is when you remove the unnecessary parts of an entity. Go back to the case in the Mishkan with the hides. You cut away the parts that you don't want. Where you're working on the entity itself, there's no issue of machatech. It isn't that you're cutting away parts you don't want. You're shaping the thing that you have. So maybe you can make the argument, says the Aruch HaShabbos, maybe you can make the argument here that you're forming an opening that's makeh b'patish, but it's not going to be machatech. And then the leap is that if there's no liability for makeh b'patish here because it's a one-time use, that won't change the fact that it's also not machatech. You got rid of machatech because you're working on the item itself and not chiseling away parts you don't want or cutting away parts you don't want. And it's not an issue of makeh b'patish because it's a one-time use. It's an interesting argument in addition to be able to permit, aside from the argument that Rav Shlomo Zalman makes, that it's a one-time use and it's not machatech because you cut there to make it easy. So that's your debate regarding cans. Okay, last bit. Caps with detaching rings. So so here, the concern is metakein kli, right? You're separating the ring from the cap, and now you make the cap into a usable kli. Beforehand, it was sucked to the top. So Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa says that's not an issue. In Sors Lamed Vav, he says the ring was stuck to the cap, but the cap was formed separately. It wasn't formed with the ring attached to it. The ring was then pressed onto it. So he argues that you're not making a kli when you separate them. They were manufactured separately and then they were stuck together. We can also give reasons for why it's not korea, such as the fact that it's a hard material, or because you're making a tikkun by cutting rather than just enabling a future tikkun. So you can make that argument as well. That only leaves the concern for machatech. So the Orcha Shabbos, it's Yud Aleph Mem Adalid, notes that some indeed prohibit opening the cap based on the idea that this is called Mechatech. In Ha'ara Samach Beis, he notes that you do care about having a non-jagged line when you separate the ring from it, so you can't say you don't care about the act. But then he offers the following suggestions for permission anyway. I didn't bring it on the sheet. But he says, number one, this is all preset. There's no real malacha to do. You're just turning the cap. That's number one. Number two, he says, the ring is already mostly separated. It's only attached at particular points, which I don't know if that's always true, but that's his statement. I don't know whether that's the structure now for the way these are made and whether they're all the same. Third, he argues that you're just trying to get the beverage out. You don't care about the nice chituch. He says you don't care about having a non-jagged line. And you have that Rambam that you're not cutting off the edges of an item. You're working on the item itself. I'm not so sure why that is true here. I'm not so clear on that. I didn't look at the Rambam in the Maaser Rokeach, though. But those are the sides of the debate regarding detaching rings, Metakein Kli, Korei, and Mechatech, and the different views on the different sides.